Extremely busy.
Yeah, I think the transition, he was going to have his hands out of it by now, hasn't worked exactly. They've gotten busier than what he was expecting, I think.
Okay, so I think we owe the county, but Commissioner, I would hope that if we could get a chairman in place, regardless of whether we have all the board seats filled or not.
Next, we'd still have a, we'd still have a quorum, right?
Well, we need to have four for a quorum, so yes, we would still have a quorum. But we're down to, if anybody has a conflict, we're done.
Which is, our next one will be March, correct?
When do you retire?
June 1st.
There's a board member after he retires.
My area is failing.
You're Bradley though, right? And I'm not for sure that your area should be filled. I think we may have a little bit of, because like 2 and 3, you'll basically carry that, cover that whole side over there, and I think
2 and 3 carries the whole east end of the county.
Yes.
Pretty much.
And I think, I don't have a map with me. I'm not sure that I'm not in the listed as the wrong one. I think I'm on the, what would be like the pro tem side of where I live there, which would mean the Bradleyville would be ready for you. Would be ready for you to step right in. guess again.
We're not going to make you move. You're fine.
Now, Ray's going to have to move to avoid being nominated.
Huh?
He would know the area
better. Well, he knows his area
of
crime.
Nothing like a guy from the county.
As far as the county, I mean.
Yeah.
The place to be here as far as that.
Yeah. Looking for you in July.
I think your retirement is contingent upon you finding a board member.
Right, maybe.
Where is Cedar Creek in all of this? What district?
So it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got Cedar Creek, Pro Tem, pretty much everything, almost.
And you think that's the right one or the wrong one?
I think it's, I'm basically.
Forsyth's coming in.
Yeah.
So Tom, he's got Forsyth.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's big areas over there, and I'm plenty close enough. I mean, I'm literally on the line. I'm plenty close enough. If you can find anyone from anywhere on the eastern side, we could make it. I think we could make it work.
Okay. And got that discussed. Item 6, Beth, you have a MoDA update?
Sure. How about the exact update? Have you heard anything about where the girders are at? Like right now. For a guy who needs to release kids in an hour 30.
Back and forth with our resident engineer because he said, so, where was the patrol at? And I said, there wasn't any law enforcement out there. He's like, what? They were supposed to have law enforcement. Not that it was going to make any difference because
I know where one girder is.
Yeah.
The way over here.
Yeah. Well, there's 3 more sitting at the junction 65 and 160, and they got to get all 4.
Those are about 500 feet long. 400 or 500
feet
long.
Pretty
huge.
It's weird because when you visually look from the end bit to the second bit, it doesn't look that long out there. But when you're driving past the girders, yeah, they look that long.
A mile of cars on both sides of that coming over here.
Yeah, the cars weren't very happy. But there wasn't a good way. We were curious how they were even going to get them, though, to be honest, whenever we first left the project.
Do they have a steerable axle on the back of them?
I know they had, multiple attachments. What
I assume that's what I've watched them before. They almost like a big fire
drill.
The ladder is about too sharp.
I thought they did, but we are furiously working on education efforts since it's the beginning of the legislative since it's the beginning of legislative year. And one of those things that we've seen, like multiple different bills in the center of the house with different versions, is some type of distracted driving approach. Some type of buckle up bill. You know, those two things seem to be two of the safety focuses that we see every year. We're glad to see those efforts going forward, and you know, as a state agency involved with public safety, we'd like to make sure that we've got some education materials out there so folks are informed. This is just some the cell phone usage is kind of some national statistics combined with some Missouri statistics. Most of the statistics on cell phone usage are still kind of on the national side because a lot of the insurance agencies that are actually providing the data on that. So like you'll see down at the bottom of the page, you're 23 more times more likely to be in a crash when a driver texts and drives. I mean, those types of statistics are being collected by national coalitions and things like that. So anyway, we put together some flyers to try to simplify it and make it a little bit more interesting than a bunch of just, you know, raw data and columns and everything. I will tell you that we keep track. Highway Patrol is the agency that gets all the crash data. They are the official keepers of crash data. And then the crash data comes to us, and we glean through it. And so every week, we actually post a report internally to all of our staff, letting them know, you know, where we're at compared to the same time last year as far as fatalities and disabling injuries, how many people were using their seatbelts, drunk driving, that type of thing. We try to keep track of all that to kind of know where we need to focus our engineering efforts and our public education efforts. And I do know that our district right now, and we're, you know, it's very early in the process, but our fatalities are double what they were last year. Already, so that, you know, that kind of sends a red flag up for us to try to do as much as we can, and we always do, but we get really nervous when our numbers are up first thing, you know, beginning of the year. It just gives you kind of a sinking feeling that you know, because we've seen in the last 2 or 3 years with our own crews, it seems like we have a lot more accidents in work zones, accidents with our flagger, near misses reported, you know, things where the flagger had to jump over the guardrail to get out of the way or something like that. And we almost know, we know it's got to be distracted driving because they go past 3 or 4 signs before they get to the work zone and they still manage to crash into somebody. And we know, we assume that it's probably phone usage just because we see so much of it now compared to years in the past. We do a lot of outreach to our partners, like this group, but also to partners that are already doing some type of you know, campaign themselves, like insurance agencies and law enforcement, and do a lot of collaboration with the trucking companies. And of course, the trucking companies, for liability reasons and also for safety reasons, they have some of the strictest standards enforced on their drivers right now. I mean, they basically cannot use their phones in their vehicles. You know, depending on the trucking company, the level of that, it may just be hands-free, but most of them are basically no phones, no texting, no anything. So they make really good partners, and we get a lot of feedback from them that, you know, from their vantage point, they can tell that, like, every other driver is on their phone. So I know they get really frustrated, too, so... Anyway, we like to get some statistics out on that. And then, of course, the seatbelt usage, we're one of the few states left that doesn't have a primary seatbelt. We're one of the few states left that doesn't have a primary seatbelt law. And all the statistics show that whenever we have a primary seatbelt law in place, usually we're under 80% usage right now, and normally that'll go up closer to 90 whenever you have a primary seatbelt law. We know that basically, you can see the last 2 years here, it says Missouri statewide statistics there on the right-hand side. Of the people that died in belt use type accidents, not counting motorcyclists and pedestrians, that type of thing, in 2015, 63% were unbelted. In 2016, 62%. It's always right in that lower 60s percentage. But we know, based on seatbelt surveys, that probably only about 20 to 25% of the population is actually unbelted, if those surveys are correct. You basically got three times, you're three times more likely to be to die in an accident if you don't have your seatbelt on, because they're the ones that make up the majority of our deaths, even though they're the minority of the users. So those statistics right there would hopefully make an impression, but we keep educating and hoping. So anyway, that's our two big education things on safety. And as always, this is like the second or third year that we've got this out, but we have the, and this is online, it's a big, thick document, so I don't print out too many, but we've got the Citizen's Guide to Transportation Funding, and it's kind of a collection of all the little handouts and different things that I've done over the last couple of years that show statistics on how we spend our money. It's got the bucket diagram that we've used at several meetings and stuff that shows the buckets, how the revenue comes in and then how it flows out. And it goes into quite a bit of detail on how the funding is spent and where we're at in paying off bonds from Amendment 3, that type of thing. We use this document not only to educate the public, but we use it as a outreach tool with the 21st Century Task Force, which was the group that the legislature put together this fall, that did the tour around the state, and their recommendations based on the guidance we were trying to give them, plus all their meetings. They came out with those guidelines here a week or so ago, 2 weeks ago maybe. They're recommending a 10-cent gas tax, a 12-cent gas tax, or fuel tax on diesel, raising registration fees, electric vehicle fees, that type of thing to kind of keep up with inflation, and also indexing for future, like, so that way we wouldn't have to revisit this over and over again, which was our mistake back in the 90s, is we never indexed any of the last gas taxes. And then they're also recommending those safety, some type of safety feature like I just gave you. They've got recommendations for hands-free devices and also for use of seatbelts. So we were glad to see that come out. We really don't have a feel for where it's so early in the session, who can make a call on politics and how things will go. But we got our fingers crossed. And so if you guys are participating in any of those, any type of efforts to reach out to your legislators, that just keep this stuff in mind. And if you need anything else, if you got any questions or anything on that type of stuff, like I said, we've got all the statistics and the data and tools if you need them. If there's some group that you think would be supportive of this and has been making their own efforts and maybe we haven't hooked up with them or whatever, just let us know. Also, the other document that we put out every fall, which is a lot more detailed on the funding side besides the Citizens Guide, is our financial snapshot. They update it every November. And so it's out fairly new with all of the actual down to the last dollar numbers on how much revenue we brought in, how much revenue we spent, how much money we get from the feds, how much money we're spending to pay off bonds. And then in the back of this document, as we've done every year for several years now, there's projections based on how much we think we're going to bring in, based on fuel usage, what different scenarios we bring in. Like if you raised the gas tax 2 cents, or if you raised, if we brought in more fees from license registration, that type of thing, what effect it would have. So those are all relevant. The upcoming construction season, is a fairly busy one, but there's quite a bit of stuff. So, we've got continuing projects in Taney County, and then we've got quite a bit of work going on kind of in the I-44 corridor is what I would call it. But this is the document that shows what all we're doing.